Good evening and welcome to Booker T. Washington Speaks on Up From Slavery, hosted by Marshall Washington Cabinus Abui, the senior great grandson of the Honorable Booker T. Washington, the famous. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and we ask Him for help and we ask for His protection and we seek safety in Allah from the weakness in our own selves, from the daifan in our own nafs, and from the evil consequences, from the bad results of what we do. And whoever Allah guides, there is no one who can lead him astray. And who Allah finds in error, who Allah finds deviating, going astray, there is no one to guide him. And I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is his servant and his messenger. Dear Muslims, dear believers, Allah tells us in the Holy Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون O you who believe, O believers, have taqwa for Allah, be conscientious, be careful of your duty to Allah. In other words, be serious about your duty to Allah. And fear neglecting to do your duty to Allah with the care which is due to Him, and do not die unless you are Muslims. And here we are talking about Muslims as being real Muslims, not just those who say they're Muslims. Do not die unless you are really submitting yourself to Allah, the way that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam submitted himself, the way Ibrahim submitted himself, the way that Musa alayhi salam submitted himself, the way Isa ibn Maryam submitted himself, the way Suleiman submitted himself, etc., etc. This is how we must be. Otherwise, we're going to come up short on the day of judgment. We're going to find that we're going to be accused of being munafiqun if we say we're Muslim in our mouth and we're not following the example of those who are good, true Muslim. If we allow ourselves to be pulled into the world of Shaitan and we're calling ourselves Muslim but we're living the life of the people of Shaitan, that's not going to help us to be able to get through the experience of the judgment. Because in the Quran, we're told that not an atom's weight of good and not an atom's weight of what we've done bad is going to be overlooked. It's just that Allah, He will forgive us what we've done bad if we have repented. If we have repented. But we can't believe, if we are intelligent, we shouldn't believe that we can say we're Muslim and then keep living the life of the people of the shaitan and we're going to go to the jannah. That's not even intelligent. That's not even intelligent. I mean, think about it. If you're a military commander and you haven't trained your soldiers to go into the battle with courage and dedication to achieve the orders of the mission, time after time your soldiers are running away from the gunfire because you have been weak in training them to be strong and you are hiding behind a rock somewhere during the battle. Do you think you're going to be the one that's going to get the Medal for Valor? You think you're going to be the one that's going to get promotion, you know, to higher rank? Do you think you're the one that's going to be given credit for the victory, if there's a victory? No. You're probably the one that's going to be stripped of your rank, maybe shot. So how can you expect, if you are running from the battle against the shaitan and actually joining the forces of the shaitan, regardless of what you call yourself, how do you think that you're going to end up? You're going to end up like that sorry commander that gets shot because he's a coward or because he's turned away from his duty and sided with the enemy. So this is serious. And I want to say something about this. We're living, dear brothers, in a time in history where the world is being challenged. I'm saying the world of Muslims and the world of Christians and the world of others is being challenged by Almighty God to either, as we say in American language, you may have never heard of this before, but this is a common saying in American language, put up or shut up. In either words, do what you say you're going to do or quit saying it. So if you say that you are one of those that's following Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let me see it. Let me see the evidence of it. Let me see your behavior. Let me see you doing the things that Prophet Muhammad said for you to do, that the Quran said for you to do. Because if you're not going to do those things, quit telling people you're a Muslim. Because you're not a Muslim, you're a munafiqun. There's a difference. You may not be a kafir. Maybe you do believe in Allah, but you're so weak that you don't want to do what you're supposed to do. And maybe if you keep going in that direction, you'll stop even praying. You'll stop even saying you believe. There are people right now. My wife was telling me a few days ago that one of her friends, a Muslim good friend, my wife's best friend, you know, she said that there are a lot of Muslims that are going back to Christianity. You know, they're leaving being Muslim. Now, in America, a great percentage of the Muslims, like myself, were not Muslim when we were children. See, we were not Muslim because our parents were Christians. So when we were children, our parents took us to the Christian religion, and we grew up being Christian, and we were taught about Christian teaching. And many of us, after being Christian for a while, like myself, we learned about Al-Islam, and we realized that Al-Islam was teaching us the truth about Allah and about Isa ibn Maryam, and the Christian church was not teaching us the truth. The Christian church was teaching us things that Jesus did, even Isa ibn Maryam wasn't even teaching, that people had inserted into the religion, like three gods. Jesus never taught those three gods. Nowhere in the Holy Bible, what they call the Holy Bible, you ever find any evidence of Isa ibn Maryam teaching anybody about three gods? The other part of it, he never taught people he was God. But that came later after he was no longer there to defend what he taught. So as a child, I was taught these wrong teachings. But I had some desire to learn the truth. And so eventually I found out the truth and I said, I want to be a Muslim because a Muslim teaches the truth. Because I wanted to be close to God. I've always wanted to be very close to my Creator. As a little boy, even though my parents really weren't pushing me to do it, but I used to pray all the time. Now, many of your parents push you all to pray. And you have no excuse for not praying. Because you were raised being taught that you should pray. I wasn't raised being taught that I should pray. But it was in my heart to do it. God put it in my heart to do it. But now, here we have today, in this time we're living in, we have a test that's going on. We have Muslims that don't really believe in Islam. They don't really believe in Islam. They don't even really believe that Prophet Muhammad brought the message that everybody needs to follow in order to keep from going to the hellfire. You know that? It's a lot of them don't believe that. Why? Because they're not acting like they believe it. Because they're doing all the kind of thing that Prophet Muhammad was told by Allah in the Quran not to do. Like they're drinking alcohol. Yeah, they are Muslims drinking alcohol. Don't let it surprise you, brothers, because if you haven't seen it yet, you just keep living. You're going to see it. They are Muslims committing zina. Don't let that surprise you, because if you haven't seen it yet, it's coming your way. It is on the way to your country. And some of you look shocked. But don't be shocked. You know, if I told you, when you walk out of your classroom, there's going to be a big tank, you know, military artillery tank, out in the parking lot aimed at you, and you go out there and you see that, don't be shocked, because you've been told. I'm telling you. I'm not telling you because I'm trying to scare you. I'm telling you what I have seen with my own eyes in the Muslim world. I've traveled extensively in the Muslim world. I've been to Saudi Arabia, I've been to Egypt, I've been to Morocco, I've been to Abu Dhabi, I've been to Dubai, I've been to the part called Djibouti, which is part of Somalia. And I've been to Turkey, and I have seen these things with my eyes. So what I'm saying is that what Muslims have to do today is not rely on the dress you wear, because that's not going to fool anybody. Because you could be a Christian wearing a thobe, an Arabian thobe, and you could be smoking hashish, and the Christian know you're not supposed to be smoking no drugs, because the prophet said that you should not go to prayer if you're intoxicated, and the drug is not going to wear off between the prayers. So if you get up in the morning, maybe you haven't done the drug yet, the Fajr prayer, but you decide after Fajr prayer, you got 4 hours between Fajr and Dhuhr prayer, that you're going to sit down with your friend and smoke the hashish, you're not going to be ready to pray a Dhuhr prayer. You're still going to be high. You're still going to be intoxicated. So that means you're going to miss that prayer. And since you know you couldn't pray, make that prayer, if you don't have to go to work, you may be so wealthy you don't have to work. So you may sit around and drink some tea, eat some dates, and then your next friend comes and says, hey, my friend, what are you doing? He says, oh, I'm just relaxing. Well, have some hashish. Okay, sure. I don't have to pray again until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's only 1 o'clock. But guess what? You're still going to be intoxicated at 4 o'clock. That hashish is not going to wear off, which means you're going to go all day long and neglect your prayer so you can be high. And yet you're wearing a thobe and you're walking around. You think the Christian doesn't see you? He knows you're not really seriously practicing Islam. And that's just one example. What we have to do as Muslims We have to make a serious decision, brothers. I had to make this decision. Every one of us has to make a decision. Here's the right side and here's the left side. The right side is totally conforming to this book and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. Okay? Here's the left side. This is conforming to the will of the shaitan, what the shaitan invites you to do, all that stuff. The alcohol, the drug, the Zena, everything. We have to make a decision. Are we going to be on this side or this side? Now, it's no in between. All right? Don't think you can have some of this or some of this and you're going to be able to get to the paradise. You're not. You're not. The paradise is 100%. 100% in accord with this. Not 99%. Not 99.9%. If you're not 100%, then that means at some point you decided that you wanted to obey the shaitan. The shaitan is not going to have any followers in the jannah. Not even a tiny little bit of a follower. The shaitan won't have any influence on anybody in the jannah. You have to cut that loose. You have to give that up. If you're weak for it, you have to pray and ask Allah to give you the strength to say no. Shaitan, I'm not going to go to that pornographic site on the internet. I'm not going to go to this strip club. I'm not going to gaze at this woman's body that's not my wife. I'm not going to do any of those things. I'm not going to smoke that harsh, intoxicating cigarette. May not even be a legal drug. May not even be hashish. It may be one of those Turkish cigarettes that's 10 times stronger than an American cigarette, that once you take a puff of it, you want to sit down because you feel so high. Because Muslims are not supposed to be getting high. And if you think you're going to get into paradise and you're a drug addict, you are fooling yourself. And a drug could be that cigarette. So it's not easy. I mean, maybe for y'all, because people have given you the impression that just because you say you're a Muslim, you're going to paradise. I'm here to tell you, you will not find any evidence for that in the Quran. That's why we read what we read. That's what we read, because it says that you have to be conscientious of your duty to Allah. You have to have taqwa. Conscientious means you're serious. This is nothing to be playing with, not to be taken leniently. Don't be thinking that you're going to be given leniency on the day of judgment if you didn't stop doing your wrong things. You won't. So get ready for the day of judgment. Get ready, because it may be for you tonight. It may be this afternoon. That many Muslims won't be alive by this evening. Their day of judgment is going to come today. They won't have the yarmulke yama today, but their record is going to be sealed today. And if they haven't straightened up and given up the bad stuff, if they willingly, some people do things out of ignorance, they don't know any better. But if they have not willingly given up the bad stuff, if they said, I'm just going to go ahead this afternoon, I know I shouldn't do it. I heard the imam, or I read it in the Quran, to lower my gaze, to stop watching that pornography. But this afternoon, I'm going to go ahead just one more time. I may change. Tomorrow I may quit. But this afternoon, I'm going to do it. In other words, this afternoon, I'm going to be Satan's slave to this pornography. And then that person dies. Where do you think that person is going when the day of judgment comes and Allah says, did you try to give up that pornography? You can't tell him no lie, because he knows, God knows. You didn't really try, because you said you were going to do it one more time. That's not trying. So we have to really get serious. And if we get serious, guess what? Allah will begin to bless the Muslim community. Allah will begin to bless the Muslim ummah. You see all the wars going on that's happening between Muslims? All over the world. But if you go to these countries, now listen to me, I told you I've been to these countries. You see, Turkey fighting wars against Iran, or Turkey fighting wars against Syria. That used to be the strongest Muslim army in the history of Islam. The caliphate that existed, called Umayyad Caliphate, that lasted for over 500 years, 600 years, that they were so strong that they even sent soldiers as far as Europe, which Turkey technically is considered in Europe, but they sent soldiers as far as France and Spain and even the edge of Germany and ruled. And look at them now. They don't even want their soldiers to come to the Jummah. I've been an imam for a long time, for going on 40 years, all over the world, because in the military, wherever I went, they didn't have anybody to be the imam, so I volunteered in the U.S. Navy. And one place that I was in Italy, working with NATO. You heard of NATO. And we had officers from NATO, officers from Turkey that were in NATO, in the command. And we had Juma on the NATO base, and I was the imam. And a couple of captains came to me, and they said, "We won't be coming to Juma, but we want you to know that we're Muslim." I said, "Why, you can't come to Juma?" He said, "Our commanding officer say we can't come to Juma." This is Turkey. So now you see Turkey having all these problems. Why do you think they're having all these problems? Because the Islam is weak. When your Islam gets weak, Allah no longer protects you. When your Islam gets weak, Allah no longer gives you sakina. When your Islam gets weak, Allah no longer keeps the devil from taking over your country. And when the devil starts taking over a country, what do you think is going to happen? People are going to suffer. People are going to get killed. But if the Muslims start living the true life of the Quran and Prophet Muhammad, then Allah is going to defend them against Satan, and it's going to make them stronger so they can resist all of these bad things that are happening. So I'm saying it's not to scare you, because my job is just to bring the message to you. But the message to scare you if you're not doing what God says. That's what the other side of taqwa is. A lot of people say what taqwa is about fear. It's not really about fear. It's about serving Allah properly. But if you're not serving Allah properly, and you know you're not, then you should be afraid. Because you know where you're going to end up is in the fire. So we don't want to go to the fire, and we don't have to go to the fire. We weren't created for the fire. But the shaitan was given permission to try to deceive us and pull us into the fire. So we have to be very strong and help each other and protect ourselves by following this book and praying and asking God to give us the strength to be able to save ourselves from the fire. Inshallah. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Asalamu ala ilaha illallah wa lahu la sharika lahu wa sharana Muhammadan abduhu rasuluhu. So, the second part is going to be very short. I know you all have to get back to school and get back to work. But I'm just going to read in the English interpretation from the Quran. This is from the Gabun. Anyway, God says to us in the Holy Quran, in the English interpretation, "Have you not heard the story, or has the story not reached you of those from ancient times who disbelieve, people of the past who disbelieve, and so they tasted the bad results of their conduct, and this was a painful result, very, very painful result for them, lahum azabun aleem, that these people, they had acted like they didn't even hear the word. Maybe they said they were Muslims. Maybe they said they were Muslims. But they didn't really believe, because they acted like they didn't care about what God said. And so they suffered. And it's historically recorded that they suffered. It said that was because their messengers, the Rasulun, Allah's Rasulun, kept coming to them with clear evidence. But they said, should mere human beings be able to tell us what to do? Because these messengers were humans. And I'm not putting myself in a position in any way of those people, but the messages in the Quran and people standing before you, the katibs, and they telling you to do this because Allah says do this, and don't do this because Allah says don't do it. And people saying, who is this brother to be telling me to quit smoking cigarettes that are intoxicating? Who is this brother to quit telling me to watch pornography? Who is this brother telling me not to do this and not to do that? And the people, they just kept rebelling against what God actually said. So they disbelieved and they turned away. But God didn't need them. He doesn't need us. He's just trying to give us what we need to be able to be pleasing to him so we can get into his dinner. It's his dinner. And then these same people, they say that they will not be raised again. They don't even believe anymore in the judgment, that on a particular time and a particular day, that the souls that have been put to sleep through death, that these souls are going to be waking up. As they say, the trumpet's going to be blown, and these souls are going to be waking up and come out of that sleep of death, and they are going to stand before Allah, and they are going to be given their judgment. But some of them don't even believe that anymore. And they're going to see their whole life. It's going to be in a book. And it's going to show what they have done. Some people act like they don't even believe that, because they keep doing the same old bad things over and over again. Yet many of them say they're Muslims. So the Quran says, as we close, he said, believe in Allah and believe in the light, the Quran and the Sunnah, because Allah sees what you do. And it says, the day of the Jamaat of the people, the day of Yamal, it says Yamal Jami Dalika, this is going to be a day. It says Dalika Yamal Tagaboon, this is going to be the day when we're going to all be together, but people are going to be trying to get out of their crosses, or what I say, out of their responsibility. They're going to be saying, I did it because he made me do it, or she tricked me, or this was this project. God's not going to even be listening to all that. Because when the certain time is going to come, all that's going to be halted. And it says, those who believe in Allah and do right, he's going to forgive them their evil deeds if they have repented. If they have repented. And bring them to gardens of Jannah, where the rivers will flow to live. But those who disbelieve and act like they never heard or didn't believe in the Quran and the Sunnah, they're going to be in the fire. And it says, no bad things are going to happen except by Allah's permission. So if you want to see things change, because Allah would not allow these things to happen to the Muslim if it wasn't a reason. And it says in the Quran, the reason that Allah bring these calamities, say the bad thing happened to you is because of what your hands have brought to you, and that Allah gives you these bad things to happen to you to try to get you to stop doing what you were doing and to humble yourself and come back to him so he can protect you and bless you So if we want to see these bad things happening, stop happening, we need to get like the people that were the Sahaba. Look what happened to the Sahaba. The closer they got to the Sunnah, the closer that they got to following the Quran, the more Allah blessed them. Blessed them with riches, blessed them with land, blessed them with their enemies stop fighting them. Blessed them to have good names. They could travel all over the world and people say, who are you? Say, we're the Sahaba Prophet Muhammad. Oh, here, welcome to my house. Welcome to my palace. Marry my daughter. Have a few hundred camels. Why? Because they have such a reputation for being such good people. But if the Muslims have a reputation for doing bad stuff, we're not going to be blessed. In fact, we're going to find ourselves in the hellfire. And we don't want that because we weren't created for that. So we close now with our prayer for Prophet Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Kama salam.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آمين.
كافها يا عين صاد ذكر رحمة ربك عبده زكريا إذ نادى ربه نداء خفيا قال رب إني وهن العظم مني واشتعل الرأس شيبا ولم أكن بدعائك رب شقيا وإني خفت الموالي من ورائي وكانت امرأتي عاقر فهب لي من لدنك وليا يرثني ويرث من آل يعقوب واجعله رب رضيا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آمين.
يا زكريا إنا نبشرك بغلام اسمه يحيى لم نجعل له من قبل سميا قال رب أنى يكون لي غلام وكانت امرأتي عاقرا وقد بلغت من الكبر عتيا قال كذلك قال ربك هو علي هين وقد خلقتك من قبل ولم تك شيئا قال رب اجعل لي آية قال آيتك ألا تكلم الناس ثلاث ليال سويا فخرج على قومه من المحراب فأوحى إليهم أن سبحوا بكرة وعشيا
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
السلام عليكم This is your beloved brother Murad Muhammad live on your Blog Talk Radio. On the behalf of New Africa Excellence Enterprise LLC, who brings you these broadcasts. And if you're looking for the tape of our beloved brother Musa, Imam Musa, and others, you go to Blog Talk Radio, New Africa Excellence, Mirage Speaks. It gives me great privilege and I am highly honored to be able to come on this radio to say something to the right. If in fact you have something to say, you should say it to the world. And this vehicle allows us to be able to talk to your nature. Our intellect is confused. It's confused by those who instill in you the opposite of what God wants for us. We are confused because sometimes we don't even know if we're a man or a woman. We are confused when we leave our mothers, we don't know how to make it in the world. We are confused what religion should we be a part of. We are confused when we don't have a knowledge or the ability to obtain wisdom, and wisdom you have to live it, to live upright, upright and grasp into God's creation to be able to manifest and instill in the world your legacy. Oh, you don't care anything about your legacy. All you are doing is just living. But you're dead. you're a dead man walking. You will have no ability, no creativity, no life in you to expand your individual self. You got to first help yourself, brothers and sisters, before you can help anyone. And hopefully tonight I can instill in you and plant that seed. I cannot make it happen. I cannot cultivate it. You have to cultivate it. When you hear the truth that is given by the men and women that comes on Blog Talk Radio, New Africa, Excellence, Mirage Speaks, you will hear words of wisdom. You want to thank Brother Imam Musa Muslim Abui, as some of y'all know as Marshall Abui. I think he did a wonderful job, and it's just the beginning. This is his second time being on the air. The first time was so nice, he did it twice. But he has the opportunity with Calabance to be on every Thursday evening at 7 o'clock East Coast time, West Coast time at 4 o'clock. And he will speak for 1 hour. And hopefully, God willing, that we will have someone in the place of me. My day is Tuesday night for 2 hours. But I can fill in anywhere. I can just say Bismillah Rahman Rahim. And when you say Bismillah, you don't need to say anything else. But we like to say with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Because when you say that, brothers and sisters, you lift your spirit. Your spirit can recognize those words. Because those are not man's words, those are God's words. And you heard that when you came out of the womb. When you was in the womb, you was already obedient to God. You ain't caused no one no trouble. That was paradise. And so you come into this world innocent. And some mothers lose their child in the womb. And when they lose their child in the womb, they are very upset. Some of lack of knowledge. Some because they wanted that baby. But we have what we call janazah that most Christians refer to as it being a funeral. When we give a janazah, we cleanse the body very gently because it's earth is what you're touching. But we respect God's creation. And we make dua over the body, and we prepare it for going into the earth. But when that child is deceased in the womb, we don't have to clean it. It already made it to heaven. Why? There's no sin. Never went into this world. So if it doesn't come into this world, why do we have to touch it? All we have to do is put the mud in the dirt into the ground. So if that mother understood that that child went directly to heaven, meaning Allah chose that they don't have to go through what you and I are going through, because we come from heaven where our mother and father was born, in heaven, sent down to this earth to prove to your Lord that you and I are obedient to him. But old Iblis, Satan, the devil, some of you refer to him as being, he said to our Lord, they ain't worthy. You gave them too much power, Lord. So I'm going to crisscross them, come from the right to left, from the back and in their face. I'm going to show you that they are not going to be obedient to you. He said, go ahead, Iblis. You have that will to do that all the way to the day of judgment, the final day of judgment. because he wants to prove that you and I cannot struggle in this world and won't give up on God. So when you know these things and you understand, you wouldn't say things about, I'm not of this world. Now you got a problem because God put you in this world. Well, look at the world. There's Sodom and Gomorrah, just like Lot had to leave. There's murder and killing. All through history, you've seen it, and it's being manifest today. But you can't leave this world unless God tells you to. He has the power to give life, and he has the power to take life. So there's no way, brothers and sisters, you're supposed to give up. When you give up, then God gives up on you. Now, how is that? How is it that God would give up on you if you give up on him? Oh, he's the merciful God. No. His wrath is stronger. So this thing about God is all loving for those who deserve it. But he don't give you hell because you will not give up. That's not what he's saying. You give yourself hell because you went against the grain. You got off the pattern. So you bring hell, and you, female, you, male, catch holy hell when you decide not to do what you was created to do. So you have to keep in mind, brothers and sisters, that this is a struggle. You got to earn this. For God says, first come difficulties, and then comes ease. And if it ain't difficult and it's too easy, run like hell. Because that's not what God said. And he gives us so many pictures in creativity why man should know he has to struggle. And how do he show it to us? Our females. For you can't even come into this world till you come through that tunnel. But that female have to go through trial and error and aches and pain for 9 months. So if God is taking the female through that, who are you to think that you are not going through aches and pains and trial and error? That's life. But you say, well, why would God give her that pain? Well, look at Adam. Look at Moses. Look at Jesus. Look at Abraham. And look at Muhammad. They all had to come through that womb. Look at the gift that the female has given to the world. Prophets to us. A messenger to God. Now, I don't need no prophets. We do. God does not need prophets. So they are slave servants of God. And every last one of them, every king in this world, you got one of the baddest men, the President of the United States, Obama, he came through the womb. You had men before him, Dr. King, he came through the womb. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he came through the womb. Noble Drew Ali, he came through the womb. You hear my beautiful brother and friend, Imam Musa, tell you about Booker T. Washington. He came through the womb. You're probably laying there right now with your husband. He came through the womb. How about your children? Came through the womb. Yes, my Christian brothers and sisters, the Pope. And how many are they now? They all came through the womb. So what is God saying to you? Is that I give life and I give death and I send knowledge to man. And man accepts it or he rejects it. So he finds one that he will create out of the womb and give it to him in that womb. You see, we hear the word Khalifa. But if you read the Arabic, it says, I have created a Khalifa in the earth. So Allah knew what he was doing when he brought the earth up to heaven. But we didn't come alive until he breathed into the Khalifa. So we're all Khalifas. And Khalifa is a ruler. But not in the physical sense of the word ruler. That's why today's scripture used the word slave servant. They call us servant. They made it more easy to your comprehension. Because we hate the word slave. We've been in slavery for 400 years. We don't want to hear that word. So the scholar says, servant of Allah, servant of God. But in reality, slaves not supposed to be for no individual, no group of people, no nation. You're supposed to be a slave to no one but your Lord that created you. It's man that took that word and explored it. To the day we have to say, slave servant. So the prophets had to come with no knowledge, nothing of this world, and give their whole self to Allah. So their job was to prophesy to you and I, why we call them a prophet, of what's to come. But he's sent by God. Oh, you thought God didn't send him? He sent all the prophets. So we the Muslims under Al-Islam, I want you to get that straight. Because I'm trying to instill in you and motivate in you that the word Muslim is every human being on the face of the planet. I had a beautiful Christian said to me, I was telling my pastor what I heard on the radio. And I told him that this brother, I don't know if he's a scholar, I don't know if he's a priest or reverend. I don't know what he is, but he speaks so highly of religion. Maybe he's a professor. But she found out I'm just her brother, Raj Muhammad. I like those accolades. I don't think I deserve it all. But what makes it profound is that you can't tell what my religion is. I don't wear my religion on my sleeve. Clothes don't make my religion. But what she heard is revelation. And I remember talking to Imam Wafdi Muhammad. He kept saying, I'm in paradise. I didn't question it, but he was so repetition with it. I said, Bloody man, why do you keep saying you're in paradise? He said, Murad, when you learn all of revelation, you're in paradise. I got it. And what he's saying, you have to know the human being. The Muslim is the nature of the human being. So we have no right to say who's Muslim, who isn't. That's unintelligent. But we use the word sometimes to just separate the Christians from the Muslims. Because in the Christian mind, the Muslim means that you are different than everybody else. You're different than the Jews, you're different than Christianity, and you're different because you're a Muslim. But just look at the logic. Take your five senses, what I've been trying to advocate them is the most greatest gift that God has given you in the womb. Can't nobody take it from you. So when you say Jews, the first thing comes to you to your mind is a white man. If you go back and understand the Jews, they wasn't white. So it couldn't be Jew mean white man. But yet you got black Jews and you got white Jews. So why do you refer to them as Jews? Well, the word Jew is Judaism. So what is it? A religion. It has nothing to do with who they are. Same way with a Christian. You got Chinese, that's Christians. You got Africans, that's Christians. You got African Americans, that's Christians. You got white folks, that's Christian. But why do you call them Christian? You don't have a problem with that. Some common sense says it means religion. Then why don't you say to us, are you Islamic? Because if you're Islamic, then there's a difference. There's Judaism, there's Christianity, and there's Islam. So see how Satan have got you away, but in your mind, you believe that we in Islam is the only Muslims. Now let me show you how they play with the words. You heard Imam Musa say to you all, they call us nigger. And because the word nigger was given to us, we thought that is the worst thing you can call us, is a nigger. But what Musa was saying, in Africa, we came from the country of Niger. The white man couldn't pronounce Niger. So he said, nigger. And he didn't mean no harm back then. But because we was referred to as nigger 400 years ago, nobody wants to be that. But you didn't know, he didn't mean it in a negative way. He just could not pronounce Niger. It was an Arabic word. So he says, nigger. And today, if you use the word because of ignorance, just the way you don't want to be called a slave, it's difficult to tell you to be a slave to God. If you look at the movie Malcolm, and Malcolm was a pimp. Malcolm went to jail for 11 years, did about 9 or 10, not because he was selling black women on the block, because they gave him 2 years. He gave him those many years because he was selling white women. Malcolm did drugs, and Malcolm sold drugs. He was the lowest life individual you ever want to see. So when he went into prison and the brothers came and told him, get in that library and read, that disturbed him in a way, but he came from an educated family, his mother and father. His father was a great preacher until they killed him. His mother was educated, but he chose the fast life. And so when Malcolm went to jail and the Islamic brothers were talking to him, he liked it. But you remember in the movie he said, get down on your knees for God. What did Malcolm say? I don't get on my knees for nobody. Why? Because in this world, getting on your knees is like saying, I'm belittling myself. So the brother said, pick the lock, Malcolm. Why? Because Malcolm got on his knees to do wrong. You can't pick the lock standing up. You got to get down so you can see it. And open the entry so you can break in and rob everybody when they're not at home. Pick the lock, Malcolm. You see the word game? Then Malcolm thought about it. and I'm going to bow down to God. So he got on his knees. And today, because he picked that lock and got on his knees and recognized what the English language was about, because he was very articulate. 9 years of reading the dictionary. Went to Harvard and spoke. Went over there in England to the most prestigious college and spoke. But why? He came back to his original self, his original nature. We all are intelligent. If you want to return back to your fitra, we call it our fitra, means the nature in which God has created you to be. So they messed up on the word. Watch the white folks on TV. They say Muslim. It's Muslim. But they can't say Muslim. You got some black folks say Muslim, because why? They taught by the white man. They try to imitate them. You know, I remember a professor. He was arguing with a police officer, a white police officer. And the white police officer said, "Can I come in?" He said, "Yes, you can come in." And he cursed that police officer out. Boy, did he curse him out. Why? Because he said, "You got a nerve with my degrees. I got a PhD, I'm a professor in college, and you got a nerve to talk to me like that." So the police officer said, "Do you mind stepping outside and say that?" So the professor stepped outside, cursed the police officer out, and he said, "You're on arrest." So what the professor was trying to say, "Man, I got a PhD, I'm a professor." He said, "In that house you are, but on this public ground, he's a nigger," and locked him up. Now, to me, the professor was trying to prove something to white folks. They will never let you be equal or better. He should have cursed that man out and told him, "Get out of my house, unless you got a warrant. Now you're in your rights." But once that professor stepped outside that house, now you're on equal grounds, and I'm the boss. You're on arrest. Well, what house is they really talking about? When you come out of that nature in which God has created you, and you start using their words and their education, you might lose your life. But if you stay in your nature, and tell them what God says, there's nothing he can do to you. And that brings me to Moses. Moses couldn't go and tell Pharaoh what he thought. Pharaoh said, "I'm the God." He said, "Yeah, but I serve the God that gives life or death." He said, "Man, I'll kill you right now, punk." Now, you know, he didn't say it in those words, but we're in the 21st century. He said, "I'll cut your left hand off and your right foot off. I'm the Lord." He said, "No, the one who created the heavens and the earth and everything between is my Lord. That's who I obey." Those are God's words. He stayed in his righteous mind, his righteous nature, his obedience to God. And he told Pharaoh what God said. You can't tell these white folks out here that rules what God says. You can't do it. You have to stay in the nature in which you was created. And if you don't stay in the nature in which you are created, brothers and sisters, and come out that house, that temple, that house of God, and that is your creation, that's your earth, and you have a right to rule the earth in which God has given you. You don't believe it's earth? Don't wake up tomorrow. Ashes to ashes, as Christian said, dust to dust. You was created from the earth and you returned to the earth, we Muslims say, from the El Saf. So, referring to us as Muslims, theoretically speaking, you're right. Because in El Islam, we have turned back to the nature in which we was created. So we on the El Islam can say we're Muslims. You are Muslim, but have no knowledge of it, have not returned back to your nature. So one refers to you as not being a Muslim, but they don't define it. They should say you are a Muslim, but you just don't know it. I accept that. So this radio show is to teach you that my Jewish brothers and my Christian brothers and my Jehovah brothers and sisters and my Hindu brothers and sisters and all those other religions that they decide to accept, they still my brothers and sisters whether we like it or not. So Satan, being skillful, is able to divide us based and predicate on religion, color, money, sex, oh my God, power. Yes, we're all divided. That's why Donald Trump is doing so well, because deep in their subconscious mind, they want to be like their ancestors, slave masters. Just look what they do to us. It's unbelievable what they do to us. But we don't care, because it ain't you. I'm not here to defend Bill Cosby, but they've taken him down. Hell, he did some good. No, he's going to leave here with no legacy. But they didn't do it to Bobby Kennedy. Go check his record. Check to all those people that was connected to Madoff. Their family is going to still live with their legacy. John Hawkins, you don't think his family is living? One of the worst slave masters that came to North America from the islands. Why, they named a city after him. Willie Lynch. Lynch City. Lynchville, whatever they call it out there in the south part of this country. But why do they take our leaders? They make movies and say Dr. King was a womanizer. Was he worse than President Kennedy? I don't think so. If he did, they must have had to look for his dirt. But our president, Kennedy, did it right there in the White House. Anything he wanted and whatever he needed. And his wife kept her mouth closed because she knew one day he will die and she can live her life. There was people got murdered. Women got drowned. Nobody came against the Kennedys. Why? Because why? They're the Kennedys. Their father was a bootlegger. He did many things in slave trading. Donald Trump. His father was with the Ku Klux Klan, according to the history, but that won't never come up. Because they don't want to tell us that. I'm not saying Donald was a Ku Klux Klan, but it's in his skin of his father. You know, usually when you do something, it passed down to generation after generation. But there's some good in Donald. But what I like about him, he's exposing to all of us how they really feel. You think that they have love for us. There was an actress, a Caucasian actress from England. I can't think of her name. But they asked on national TV, what does she think about what they're doing in Hollywood? She said, I don't like it. For we all come from Africa. Boy, they said they're going to get rid of her. See, you can't speak out against the powers that be. Minister James, may God be pleased when they call him the Son of Thunder. I was just a young man. He said, when you got your hand in a lion's mouth, you don't yank it out, you ease it out. And some of us is on these prestigious jobs. And some of us in politics. And some of us got some good jobs. You have to be careful. You can't stand up and fight and lose your job. Man, let you go out in the wilderness and look for some meat to bring home so your wife can cook it. This is just a metaphor. And what the mothers do, they put pots on the stove so the babies think food is coming. And you come in the house running, out of breath. What's wrong, dear? Yo, I almost got killed by the lion. Then the tiger was chasing me and running for me, outrunning the bear. Where's the meat? She can't sympathize with you. She said, I love you, but you got to go back out there and don't come home till my babies are fed. Isn't that reality? She don't have time to worry about you. Your job is to go get the meat and bring it home. Well, likewise, when you're working, your child can't jump up and say, Mama, why you don't have your job? I curse that man out. I call him a white man, a devil. I call him all kinds of names. How you call your boss that's feeding you? You cut off your hand that feeds you. You put your pride in your pocket as long as he don't take your principle away. Isn't that common sense? Just like the professor, he used the common sense and not the education that was given him that taught him that he's equal to them, he would have never got locked up. Step outside my home, outside here. I know, sir, I say what I want in my own home. Now, if you don't have a warrant, you have to leave my house. Tell your story walking. He couldn't have done nothing, but he wanted to prove himself. So it went all over the air. Professor gets locked up by a police officer. See how our minds get all confused? We ain't free. We're trying to be free. When you free is when you get into Revelation, Scripture, and start reading the words of God. That's the first freedom. When your mind can be free and you can not go to China but think of what you can do in China. You don't have to go to Italy, but you can see Italy in your mind. See how that spirit leaves the body? When you're in tune and obedient to God, the spirit can leave and go out and see what you can visualize. Then he calls you human. Why he calls you? Because you can rationalize what he's looking at. But the spirit can't call you because why? You're stuck on stupid. So the spirit dies with you. I'm a student of Imam Wallace D. Muhammad. And I take pride in understanding his tafsir. He said the spirit dies with you if you're dead in this world. Meaning it doesn't move on. You got to be alive in this world to prove to God that you deserve to move on. But for some reason, you ain't listening. You won't listen because you won't read. We say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wa sa'asa wa salam wa sa'asu'li kareem. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salaka wa deen. These are the things that we say with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We give thanks to Allah for a mercy to all humanity. And Muhammad the prophet, Ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, may the peace and blessing be upon the prophet, his descendants, and his companions. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. The Holy Quran says that it is revelation as a mercy to the people. Revelation is a mercy to the people. The Holy Quran said, Prophet Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, is not a justice to the people, nor is he something due to the people, but he's a mercy to the people. At the beginning, there was a necessity. There was no necessity for God. God didn't need a prophet in the beginning. To revelation, the truth. Because his way has always been right. Allah's ways have always been right, so he didn't need a prophet. He didn't need a prophet to come to us. But God wanted us to stay away from corruption by man. There is a need for someone to come and correct it. Allah had to send someone. So he sent his messengers and his prophets to unlock the knowledge. Because why? Man went haywire. Man got off the pattern. So Allah didn't have to send us revelation. It wasn't even necessary. This is why I tell you all the time when you listen to me that we talk about all these religions. But go back to your father, Adam, and ask him what his religion was. There was no need for religion. For religion actually came to man 1,400 years ago. Now, you don't have to accept it. But I'm going to give you logic. Judaism was permissible. Allah permits you to do wrong. But if you do right out of ignorance, not knowing you're doing right, you can't take that credit. You have to give that credit to God. Because you chose to do right, and God gave you that capability to do right. So, and we're only talking about the two major religions in this world, not in the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran doesn't mention Christianity, and it doesn't mention Judaism. But you do have the people in Scripture. When you read the Holy Quran and you read the translation, Yusuf Ali will define it and call it Christianity and Judaism. Because there's a word in the Quran that says all religion. And that word represents every religion you can think of. So there is two major religions other than Islam. But they was created by man. And anything man creates is going to always have a problem. So Judaism doesn't multiply today. And Christianity is off the hook. So 1,400 years ago, there's no man on the planet created El-Islam. El-Islam was created by God himself And he revealed scripture, or the juice of the Quran, we say, the source of the Quran, through Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you're saying, okay, so the Quran was created 1,400 years ago. No, don't misconstrue what I'm getting ready to say. The Quran was created when man came out of the earth, Adam. Whoa! How could that be? Go check your father, Adam. He was the guardian of the garden. He was in paradise. How was he operating? By his nature. Well, what was his nature? Well, let's ask Khadija. No, Khadija had passed away. Let's ask Aisha. Aisha, can you tell me who your husband was? She said, yes, he was a human walking Quran. So Allah gave it to you through a mouth of a female. That you are walking Quran. You sisters are walking Quran. I'm a walking Quran. Every human being has the Quran in his nature. So Allah said, okay, man, you want religion? Since you all keep messing up, got idol gods, you worship paganism, you worship Christianity, you worship Judaism, some of y'all worship the sun. So, all right, I see y'all want religion. So Allah says in the Holy Quran that I created Islam to be your true religion, and I perfected it to be perfect. Whoa. So there's not a man on the planet can tell you that they created Islam. So let's go back in the history. Back then they was called seers. They can see the future. Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now Khadija comes into play. When he got revelation, Allah told him to read Iqra, and he began to read. He came back shaken. He was terrified. She took him to his uncle, because his uncle was referred to as a seer. See how God gives you a gift, but he didn't have no religion. But he was a seer. That's what they referred to him as, seers. They didn't call him prophets. They call them seers, men that have vision and understand what they see, where it came from. So when he came to his father-in-law, he said, you got revelation by the angel. God talked to you. Of course, that messed Muhammad the prophet up, because he didn't understand. Khadija didn't know she was married to a man that God chose to be a messenger to her, for him. And so for 23 years, he gave you the juice of the Quran. Angel Jabir came to him. Give him Fatiha. Give him Baccarat. All the way to Hanaz. And if you check the record, if you go back and check the record, brothers and sisters, you will find out that after the 23 years was up that he lived, because remember now, he lived 40 years as a complete man. In scripture, they call it for a lifetime. So he lived 23 years of his life as the prophet to us and a messenger of God. But it was over, Allah removed him. Meaning what? His job was complete. So now we can actually read God's words for you all that don't see it or don't have it. Go in the Quran now. But you can't get that to Muhammad the prophet. peace be upon him. You can't get that to no imam. You can't get that to no sheikh. I don't care how rich he is. He cannot take credit for the Holy Quran. So when you read the Quran, you're reading God's words. Islam was not created by man. Or how Christianity was created. If these seers thought about creating a religion called Judaism, they had good intention. That's why they was called the chosen one. And Allah permitted them. They was doing well. But they decided not to give it to nobody else. Allah said, oh no, I didn't give you this knowledge to keep to yourself. And on Tuesday I told you all, Allah sent Jesus to take down the fig tree. Meaning they can't multiply seeds in the fig tree. You plant seeds and multiply. They can't, the tree don't bear no fruit. We were so into the physical, we said a woman can't have no baby, cut her down. Why? Because she can't bear no fruit. See how physical we were. Had nothing to do with the female. How the hell are you going to cut down Allah's creation that brought life in this world? But we always talk about the wound of the female. To bring your attention, that God is not talking about the wound of the female. He's talking about the wound of your intellectual mind. You can't grow nothing if you can't produce. So the mind is a female. That's knowledge coming out of there. So he can't say you got a man's mind only. A man can't produce nothing. He can't even hold life. So you got to call it a female. Why is we called Khalifa? Because every man that walks this planet Earth that has the word that sounds like Khalifa is what? Khalif. That's masculine, but can't produce nothing. So man and woman in the earth was created to be what? Plural. Khalifa. Female. And you women talking about Islam puts you in the back. Yes, if you're physical and you go for that, not even want to see Muhammad, he freed his female. They have the same capabilities. But the problem is that the female stopped producing. In the physical sense, you don't see no babies running around here. They don't even want men no more. And in the intellectual, they stopped learning. The female was so strong that she gave that knowledge to that man because Allah made him the ruler of the earth. He had to go out and provide and protect. But you don't want to cater to him. I ain't doing this for him. Who he thinks he is man's chauvinism. He is always his way. Well, hell, if it took you to the moon, what way you want him to be? Oh, that's nothing. Because he goes to the bathroom just like you do. He takes a bath just like you do. He gets sick just like you do. So you figure he shouldn't leave anything. So the masculine in you come out of you. Because remember now, we are one collectively. So there's masculine in you and there's female in me. The problem we have that some men let their female dominate their masculine. So now you don't know if he's a he or she. And yes, the female. Let the masculine dominate the femininity. And you don't know if she's a man or a woman. Now, I know we have women with women. But do you think God's looking down on how you chose to have your social life? Why you belittle God? But when you get it confused with your intellectual mind and the nature in which he created you, now you committed a sin. You can't divorce yourself from God. God what? God don't need you to please him. He needs you to please your soul. Get back in your nature, sister, and be what Allah wants you to be. It's the foundation of the world. You can make that man climb to the roof. You can make him climb to the Empire State Building. But you want to be with the jinn and take him down. So you don't want to marry him because he ain't come home last night. Or he ain't come home in a week. You don't want to share him with the world. I heard Dr. King's children say, we didn't have our father. You all had him. And they benefiting for it right now. They have a great daddy, a great legacy. All the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had 20 babies. And where are they? All educated, all out here trying to, I don't care if they with Minister Farrakhan, Imam Waters D. Muhammad, or they doing something. They doing something. Oh, he should have had 20 babies from Clara Muhammad. Or he shouldn't have came out of Clara Muhammad. That has nothing to do with the physical babies. But it has a lot to do with a community. Children are not looked at because you had sex. I mean, women you know have sex with her husband can't produce a damn thing. So it ain't got nothing to do with you or me. Them children come here from the will of God. And someone got to give birth to them. Because in that womb is where Allah grows your next leader. That can put you on the right path. And you believe that if my father's father, according to science, if he or she, not her, but if he has sugar diabetes, you don't catch sugar diabetes. You inherit sugar diabetes. So it had to be in the blood somewhere. Well, what makes you think if my father's Adam, it ain't in my type, my blood type, that I have ability to tell you the future? Was he not a prophet? Oh, I know. That's so far-fetched. But they ain't going to teach you that in school. They ain't going to allow you to go to school. You see, there's a need for someone to come and correct it. God sends his messengers and his prophets to unlock the knowledge. If intelligence does not have the ability to checkmate the instinct that man has, the act that man has in him, the animal that you only follow, that's the instinct. You know, instinct, you just go and you just do things. You just make things happen all on the instinct. You just say, boom, it's over with. And then you follow that animal, that power that involved in the instinct that you come to, and you are no longer a human being because you follow that instinct. Intelligence got to be supported and guided by yourself. Islam teaches you, and I, our intelligence, and to check the wild flame of passion in you is how you're supposed to operate. I want to thank you for listening to me. And it gives me great privilege to try to bring you a little of what I've learned in 1 hour. I can talk for hours. But I decide to come behind an outstanding brother. Tomorrow we'll be on, God willing, for 2 hours. And if... 2 hours, I would be able to bring you some more knowledge and wisdom of Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in him is in us, and I'll be able to share with you the tafsir of Imam Wallace D. Muhammad. If I say anything to hurt you, I apologize and ask you for forgiveness, because that's not my intention. If I split any verb or misappropriate any part of scripture or the Holy Quran, I'm human. But I say anything to motivate you and give you determination to stand up in your spirit and stand up in your soul and be obedient to Allah, give him the credit. I greet you from all the prophets and Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With the Arabic language from the Holy Quran, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.